Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Taekwondo Life Magazine, brought to you by the Believe Sports Network. Believe is the number one podcast network for sports and professionals. Check out this podcast at Believe.com and everywhere that podcasts can be found. My name is Mark Sarianis. I'm your host. I'm a third Dan Black Belt, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Taekwondo Life magazine. For those of us like myself growing up in New York, spent our entire life in New York, we remember a time in the 80s when crime was high, when there were problems on the streets and the subways, very much like the situation we're experiencing today. The economy was rough, and a group of volunteers under the leadership and guidance of Curtis Sliwa got together with their characteristic and distinguished red berets and red satin jackets and started to patrol the subways and the streets, not as vigilantes, not as crime fighters, but just as visible community activists helping out and supporting their communities for the purposes of improving life in the city that they loved. Well, here we are 41 years later, and the Guardian Angels are still active, in fact, more active than ever. They are not just in New York, but they are in cities all over the world. Curtis Sliwa is still at the helm, always a vocal and active voice, advocating for what he believes in for a better New York. Today I have the honor of talking to Master Stretch, who was at the time the youngest Guardian Angel in its history. He has been with the organization since its inception virtually, and he and I talk about the Guardian Angels, martial arts and self-defense training within the Guardian Angels, and we talk about the unbelievable community martial arts program that the Guardian Angels sponsors for children in this and other cities to help them to become good leaders and better actualized people. That is a common theme throughout Taekwondo Life's programs. It's writing. It is celebrating life through the martial arts, through Taekwondo, and through a like-minded way of thinking. If you are interested in getting more information about the Guardian Angels, check out the links in our show notes. And I look forward to hearing your feedback. And I wish you all a wonderful and successful 2021. And I know that there are great things in store for us all this year.
How are you? Can you hear me?
Yes, Mark. Good afternoon. It's a pleasure. How are you doing?
Thank you for the time. I really appreciate it.
No problem, sir. Yes, Mark. Mark, did you get the pictures I sent you?
Wonderful stuff. I love it. I love it.
If you need more, I'll give you some more group shots of us feeding the homeless and things like that.
That's great. That's great. So I wanted to properly introduce you. We're not live now. The show will appear in a couple of weeks, but based on what you sent me, it's Master Stretch. Is that how you identify?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yes,
So you are, tell me about what your, we'll get a little bit into your background and, but what is your role with the Guardian Angels? Well, and how long have you been with them?
I've been with them since day one, since 1979.
Wow.
I started actually with the Guardian Angels when I was 4.5 years old. I'm 56, so I'm 57.
God bless it.
So I was actually the youngest, thank you, the youngest Guardian Angel, but Curtis thought I was 16 because I was pretty tall.
Right.
I was only 14.5 years old. I actually run the Guardian Angels Community Service Center, where we provide martial arts. We're actually helping homework from 3:30 to 4:15. And then we do the 4:30 to 6, the martial arts programs for kids between the ages of 5 years old to 15. Then we have the adults and teenagers class from 6:30 to 8 p.m.
That's wonderful. Where does that take place in the city?
We're in Washington Heights in Manhattan at 1370 St. Nicholas Avenue. And, you know, we also do like, we have weekend trips for the kids. We take them out of the city to show them there's a whole different world out there. We do a lot of community service by removing graffiti. We spend time with senior citizens. We do the drug and gang prevention programs. We also have a senior citizens or the adult senior citizens and disabled martial arts classes on Tuesday and Thursdays.
Wow.
We also have like, so I've been at that location for 32 years. So a lot of my my students and former students, they're neither police officers. We have two doctors that graduated, some corrections, some firefighters, they'll come and spend time with the kids. We do like what we call career day, where some of the former students will come in and professionals speak to them. We have like lawyers that speak to the kids, firefighters, doctors, and police officers. They'll advise the kids, or they'll take the kids for the day and show what the day's like at their professional career. So the kids have an idea to guide them, steer them in a correct way, in a positive way. For the holidays, like time now for like Thanksgiving and Christmas, and I'll show you some pictures. What we actually do, we have our own Christmas party. It's called Christmas with the Angels, with the little kids.
Nice.
They're called Junior Guardian Angels. So what we'll actually do is we'll come out and buy gifts for all the kids. And what we'll do is we'll gift wrap them. The parents will gift wrap them, home and put it together. Every parent brings a dish and, you know, a big tray, whether it's rice, some will bring beans, cold salad. We have like a buffet style, and we have a Christmas party. Then at the end of the dinner, Santa comes in and gives all the kids gifts. Whatever food's left over, what we actually do is we'll pack it up in containers, and we go out into the subways,
wow,
the terminals, the streets, and feed the homeless. And we have the little kids do that for Thanksgiving, so they can be more appreciative of, you know, of what the parents go through, the sacrifice.
Right.
Our center is called the Guardian Angels Community Service Center. And they spend more time there than what they do at home. Some parents, because of the rents are so high, have two jobs, single parents.
Sure.
So we have a recreation area where we have different games, electronic games, board games. We have ice hockey and table games. And what we'll do is on Saturdays we'll open up and we'll have a recreation day. We'll have a movie day. And the parents appreciate it because it's free of charge. They're not spending any money. They're in a safe environment. They're out of harm's way. And it means a lot to this community, the way, you know, the economy is and what everything's going on. With the epidemic, a lot of parents have been calling, when are you going to reopen? And this, that.
Sure.
It's so hard. It's so hard now because these kids are stuck at home. As you know, the pandemic is going back up in New York City, and it's real bad. So people are suffering. This is the first time we actually had to close down because of, you know, just for safety purposes.
Sure.
But during the time, we have taken the time to renovate our center, improve it, upgrade it, and you know, get the proper disinfecting items that we
great.
Need.
Great. Yeah. So let's roll it back for people that don't. I grew up in New York, and I'm in my 50s, so I'm very familiar with the work of the Guardian Angels and the start of the Guardian Angels and a little bit of the history, but not everybody fully understands. So tell us a little bit about you've been involved since the beginning with Curtis and with the Guardian Angels, as you said. Tell us a little bit about how you got started with that. How'd you come to become a guardian angel? And then I want to talk a little bit about the martial arts for the training for the guys who patrol, but then also about your community center martial arts program, because we're very interested in that. But tell us a little bit about your involvement. You said you were young. You were the youngest guardian angel. You've been there since the beginning. So tell us, how'd you get involved in it? How'd you learn about it? And what'd you bring to the table?
Well, you know, when the guardian angels formed, that was not the actual name.
Right.
Transition. Curtis started when his father got mugged on the subway. He was robbed. And before that, he was collecting garbage, collecting off Fordham Road. And when he was a nighttime manager at a McDonald's in Fordham. And he started with the Rock Brigade, collecting garbage. After that, when his father got mugged, 13 of his co-workers, actually 12 of his co-workers, he was the 13th, the number one. He started what they called the Magnificent 13. And that's how the Guardian Angels' original name was actually, they started with 13. And then after so many members joined, because people had understanding that the organization was a gang. So everybody right. started joining it. Everybody were called the Gelantes and so forth. And when transition from the Magnificent 13 to the Guardian Angels, that's when I came in as the Guardian Angels, the Magnificent 13 was transitioning to the Guardian Angels. They used to wear karate uniforms and karate geese, and I was ready into the martial arts. That's what actually attracted me. And then, so, you know, even though I was young, everyone to challenge the skills, you know,
right.
the work and stuff. So I felt that the best way to put it to a test was to find, you know, to fight crime.
That's great.
Well, my mother was against it today.
Sure, of course.
Totally for it, because, you know, I mean, back in the days, it was so dangerous. And Mayor Koch didn't actually approve of the Guardian Angels.
Sure. He came around. He came around later on.
Yeah. But it was, you know, as you know, Curtis was arrested 76 times during
sure.
that time. And it was funny because the Guardian Angels would prevent the crime, apprehend someone, conduct a citizen, perform a citizen's arrest. The next thing you know, Guardian Angels were being arrested. So, I mean, it was really hard during that time. And there was a lot of gangs, not to like now. But if we look at the transition between the 70s and now, it's gotten even worse because, you know, the youth today, these young kids, the generation, there's no respect and love for the elder. They really don't care, no family values. And these young kids are carrying knives, guns, and all kind of weapons, you know, and they don't think of the consequences. So it's we're in danger again. It's gotten worse. And the streets, because of what's going on, people out of jobs.
Sure.
Are jobless. They got a few families. The crime is going up. The police today have no powers, been stripped right out for them.
Sure.
They conduct an arrest. They're the ones that are being brought up on charges. So we're facing an uphill battle from all different directions at this time.
You guys, for people who've lived in, now I know that the Guardian Angels is in multiple cities, right? And around in multiple cities all over the place. But for those of us who ride the subways, have ridden the subways, and been in New York for so long, the one thing that I know from speaking to people is that when the Guardian Angels' presence is visible, you feel safe. There's a sense of people feeling safe and feeling that there's a community involvement that provides a sense of watching over the community and a sense of safety that didn't exist before the need for the Guardian Angels or the Magnificent 13 as it originated came about. And I think now, you know, as I see a greater visibility of you guys again, as the conditions in the city have been so challenged by all the recent events of the last year, I think the need for the Guardian Angels is probably as strong as it ever was, it's hard to say that about a lot of organizations that have been around. I mean, it's 40 years now.
It's 41. Actually, it's going to go be 42 now on February 13th of 2021. As you said, you know, and people will, you know, are starting to realize, and it's we're not going to blame the city, the mayor, the governor,
right.
but it's like you don't see police presence in the subways like you used to. I mean, it's been reduced because now the cops, top cops and cops for 20 years plus are retiring.
Right.
So the numbers are less. They have to cover more ground. at the same token, you don't really see transit police officers unless they're called. They don't really, they're not on the sub platform, on the bottom of the sub. You know, you see them by the clerk, but you don't actually see them in the subways, riding the subways. And these crimes, there's a lot of EDP, emotional disturbed personnel people, on the platforms. As you know, there's been a lot of lately people being pushed onto the tracks, people being attacked in the subways, and it's getting worse and worse. Our numbers now, we are, a lot of people, we haven't seen the Guardian Angels for a long time. It's good to see you guys, but we have committed ourselves. I run after school programs in some city schools and in the senior citizen centers. I work closely with hospitals. I have programs there for the disabled and a martial arts form, which we'll speak about later. But we're more organized. We do lectures at Turbo College, Law of College University in Long Island. So we're more established as an organization into organizing organizations, churches, community centers, hospitals, after school programs. And today, what we found was that for several years, no one wants to volunteer because the economy is so bad and bills have to be paid. It's not like it was years back.
Right.
Because of the crime now, and the crime, the drug abuse, what's going on where the police are not making the arrests they should, or they're being prevented from making because they're scared at the same token. They're human beings, they want to go home. People are starting to join our organization. It was so hard for people to come together to realize that this is their community. It belongs to you. Why should you fear walking down your neighborhood, your sidewalks,
go absolutely to your store?
And because of what's going on now and the reduction of arrests, the crime rates going up, Guardian Angels have risked their lives. And people start to realize, wait a minute. These are not bad guys after all. We heard about them, but we actually really never seen them or really spoken to them or got to know them. They've seen us more on the news now because we're out there risking our lives. People are like, wait a minute. Even reporters that didn't want to give us the time. Now we're covering because we're feeding the homeless. We're giving them safety gloves, you know, rubber gloves.
And sure.
Giving them hand sanitizers, feeding them, trying to clean them up, try to prevent them from going and harming other people by going into a shelter, or, you know, just to prevent the spread of the disease. People have seen this. They're starting to realize. They've seen this in the subways. We're patrolling their neighborhoods. They're crying out for help. Our organization, what we actually do is, if you're interested, we'll train you. Let's get 4 or 5 members from your neighborhood, and let's patrol your neighborhood. We'll train you. Then it's like a tennis association. You patrol your own building. You patrol your own neighborhoods. But we'll train you correctly, and we serve as eyes and ears for the police. We don't take the law into our hands, but all we are is a prevention organization. That's all we are.
That's great.
But at the same token, you know, have a heart. If you can help somebody, if you can feed somebody, if you can carry someone's bags, we carry senior citizens' bags. We'll stay at what we know senior citizens' area, supermarkets during snowstorms and all. This is what we do in Washington Heights, and we know the neighborhoods. So we'll stay in front of the door. We'll have our van parked and 5 or 6 guys. We'll help senior citizens carry their groceries to their house in front of their building. Because to make sure they don't slip and fall, you know, anything to help.
That's anything great.
So this is what we're actually doing. We also have, we're feeding the homeless, the Meals on Wheels. We'll take it to their house. We're gathering coats and clothing, giving it to people in need. So it's important to help one another.
That's wonderful. And I really, you know, I think that people, when they look at it, it's a great model for community activism. You know, people can do better for themselves, and many times more efficient and more effective than government programs and government assistance, where there's a lot of excess money that goes to waste and people can't figure out where it goes. And you guys are operating on a volunteer basis. Tell me about your martial arts program. I saw the photographs. I'm excited about that. I'm 30, almost 35 years training in the martial arts, and I've seen it change people's lives, whether they be children, whether they be, I help people come, you know, in this program, I've interviewed so many people who have started out on the wrong path, and their martial arts training helped put them in the right path, whether they became, you know, famous people in that ride, or just, you know, used it as part of their life. Tell me about the martial arts program. I think there's a great tie-in between Guardian Angels, martial arts, and the philosophies and things.
It's I deal more with the martial arts spiritual aspect, is respect the elders and love the youngest. A lot of people got a misconception about the martial arts. For example, it's a physical, it's a contact. You know, martial arts is another form of education, as you expressed.
Sure.
Because of the way the world is today, this generation is today, martial arts keeps the child, it teaches you the respect. The respect starts with respecting the elders, your family members, your grandmother, your parents, and so forth. In today's world, it's totally different. Because the parents, the law has taken the right to raise the child. I don't believe in hitting the child, but correcting the child is a different thing. I don't believe in touching a child. Timeout can work. Martial arts works because of the condition of the mind and the body,
right,
which is very important. Our program, as you advance, you as an instructor know, once you start advancing from a white to a yellow, what we actually do in our program, we start implementing leadership in a child. So it's not about the size of the student or the pupil, it's about the rank, has the experience. So sometimes I may have like a 11-year-old child deal with someone that's 16 or 17. I may have a 14-year-old, 15-year-old dealing with an adult.
Right.
To teach them to respect one another. At the same token, you're developing leadership skills, teaching skills, implementing that in the child without knowing.
That's great.
So it's very important. And this is the way we actually do our program. But our program has different departments. For example, we have the leadership skills. Then when we talk about competition and fighting, it's not about the contact, but what works in tournaments does not work in the street, as
sure.
you know.
Sure.
As you know. So this is something that we try to implement. We try to cover at our dojo and our center. At the same token, once or twice a month, we'll combine the adults with the kids to exchange knowledge, to become a family and
That's
work
correct.
As one. So, and you know, we, like I said, we tour, we go to tournaments, we go to a Hall of Fames and all. And what we try to do at our program is to help one another. So we have like the high school kids helping the junior high school kids with their homework, what they'll understand. The junior high school kids will help the elementary school kids. So they learn to become a family, help one another.
And that's great. So,
and I think all martial arts, all systems are good. It's just the way an individual dedicates himself. I don't believe there's one better. One art is better than the other.
I agree with you. I think you hit on a important point, which is what you put in is what you're going to get out. And it is about the mindset, people understanding the mindset. So tell me a little bit about, speaking of styles, do you use some form of, is it a traditional martial art, or is it some sort of an integrated hybrid that you guys have come up with, is sort of a mixed martial art? Because I agree with you, there's a difference between a martial sport and martial self-defense or martial combat, right? Very different things. When we train people for to fight in a tournament, or we train people in, you know, self-defense, knife defense, punch defense, hold, those are very, very different, but we can sort of cross those things over. I happen to have a Taekwondo background, but what is the nature, or what's the base of the martial art that you guys teach?
Well, I teach Taijiquan, which is a combination of Taekwondo and Aikijutsu and Jiu-Jitsu.
Sure.
I have a Shotokan background, and I studied Taekwondo for several years. But I also do the kickboxing. I fought in full contact karate in the past, back in the early 80s. We have, you know, so we're worldwide, as you said before, we're worldwide. We have Shihan, and Mozart Vero and his wife, Sylvia. They have he's a seventh dan.
Sure.
Six, they teach traditional Shotokan. So we have various chapters with different instructors. That have their dojos, that want to volunteer. So we don't have a specific system. It depends what chapter you're in, If you're in New York or you're in the, you know, you're in Jersey or in Texas or Puerto Rico, we have 5,000 members in Japan. So at the community center, we actually teach Taijiquan, which is the headquarters. And our system was my instructor is Louis Grandmaster Louis Estella, which he created the system. He studied under Ronald Duncan and Wigginton, Grandmaster Wigginton.
Sure.
So it depends on who are you, where you're at, and the you know the instructor. I teach a lot of 1-2-step hand techniques because there's no such thing as getting into a stance and kicking and doing a show.
Sure.
When you're in the street, like I said, sports karate or competitions is one thing. When you're in the street, it's a whole different world, totally different world. But at the same token, we have to be very careful because we can't use physical force, bodily injuries, and thank God our organization, 41 years, have never got a lawsuit. So we don't believe in like going after somebody looking for trouble. We're a prevention organization. We try to prevent. And a good martial artist, as you know, try to de-escalate a situation.
You know, absolutely. You just hit the nail on the head. And I think that's what most people, we always say we learn to fight so we don't have to fight. And that's the truth is that you find that the people that are least likely to get into a fight are people that are trained in martial arts because you have confidence. You carry yourself in a way that people sort of recognize that you're confident and you do everything you can to de-escalate because you understand how devastating a fight can be to both parties, even the winner. The winners don't always win, you know.
There's no winners out there, right?
Right.
You know, it's funny you say that because we do a lot of disarming techniques and self-defense in our system. And what's people have the misconception. If you're attacked by a weapon, like, for example, I attack you with a knife, you disarm me. You pick up the knife and you stab me with it or you injure me with that weapon. You know, once you disarm an individual, he's no longer a threat to you.
Right.
He's no longer a threat. So the law changes. If you have the weapon and you attack with that weapon, you become the attacker. And charges and criminal charges can be put on you, you know, or brought to you.
That's very, very good. That's very important. And it's very important that people know that. And people have a lot of misconceptions about these things. They don't, you know, because we will watch a lot of TV and movies and life isn't, you know, real life isn't like that. So I love the fact that your program, you know, I interviewed Chuck Norris's Kickstart Kids in Texas. And he's done a lot of very similar where they're in the schools with the kids and those kids are getting farmed up through that system. And those kids eventually become instructors in the system. And they have a variety of styles as well. People bring, some are karate practitioners, some are taekwondo. But the idea is that they understand that the martial arts has a positive benefit on the kids. And the kids learn exactly what you said, leadership skills. They learn that those leadership skills inside the martial arts transcend and they can use those, like you said, become a doctor, become a lawyer, become the next mayor of the city of New York, whatever the case is, that those skills are helpful to you and you learn those through martial arts and through community training.
You know, I want to apologize. I don't have my beret or my red satin jacket because, you know, I was hit by a car at 60 miles an hour, an SUV.
When was that?
3 years ago.
Oh, wow.
In August of 2017, and I was pronounced dead at the scene. I had no skin.
Oh wow!
No facial skin on one side. I had no hair. My pelvis was fractured in 4 places. Both of my legs broken. I had 3 bones in my spine broken. So I was brought back by fibrillators, and when I was dead at the scene, I was brought back by fibrillators. I was stepping off Lakeland, Florida, and I was brought to a hospital. All I can hear was, "We're taking glass out of his face." And my heart beating again. I lost consciousness. Immediately, I was put into the ambulance. And I went into a coma. I woke up several days later, 3 days later, and I was in ICU. 27 days, and I was flown back into New York, pushed in a hospital. From there, I was bedbound for 9 months.
Oh, wow.
They want to amputate my legs and all. God is good. The martial arts does wonders. And thank God I'm walking. I still have slight pains here and
there. Sure,
sure. Body aches. But, you know, I'm walking. I have no operations and all. I'm teaching again.
Wow, that's... Wow, God bless it. That's,
so this
that's...
is why I couldn't get out today.
No,
so I couldn't go get my lost in the vehicle because we do night patrols and all, so I was exhausted.
No. Well, rest. I appreciate it. And we're going to post the photographs. And for what Master Stretch is referring to, for those that aren't familiar, if you certainly are in cities where the Guardian Angels are, they are known for their red beret, for their red satin jackets. And of course, you're wearing the white shirt with the Guardian Angels written on it. So they are visible. And it's become something where people know that when you see that group, that you know that that's a sign of that those are friends, those are friendly faces, those are people that will assist you, whether it be pointing you in the right direction or if you're in need of getting some help. So that's great.
We're actually recruiting. Our numbers going back up. Just in case someone was interested in joining, I would like to give my number.
Yeah, that's great. That's wonderful. I was going to ask you, what is the best way for people to get in touch? And I think I see a lot of community activism. And I personally say that if you're looking to get involved with an organization that really has a history of success and doing the right thing, the Guardian Angels is a place where you would want to spend your time. There's a lot of value there. So how would they be able to reach out and find out, Mr. Stretch?
They can call at 718-781-8194. That's 718-781-8194. Also, you know, I want to let people know, you don't actually have to walk with a group or it's not just service eyes and ears, but we do have like bike patrols. We got Jose Cruz, which is the bike patrol director. He leads out our bike patrol. So if they can donate an hour or two a week or a month, it doesn't matter. Anytime, we'll take whatever you can give us. But we have like bike patrols, we have foot patrols, we got people in the subways, also mobile patrols where we put, you can put magnetic mounts on the side of your vehicle. We give you some overhead amber lights. So they know that you're patrolling the area, and then you can take them on and off. They're magnetic. So it's not, you can't walk. You want to ride your bike, which is fine. You can join a bike patrol. You can be in a vehicle. You don't have to wear the red satin jacket, or you can just have it underneath.
That's correct. Cover.
And service eyes and ears. The thing is to help, you know, this is your city, your streets, your neighborhood, your parks, your subways. You know, we need to take it back from these thugs, and we need to stick together as one. It's a beautiful city. It's a beautiful city.
It is.
And so people just, you know, let's not pick up and run. If we, you know, fight this together, stick together, we can make it. We can really make it. But it takes, there's no I and we. We need you.
Right.
You know, we need your help, just like you need our help. You know, so we can support each other's. And that's the most important thing.
That is great. That's really wonderful. And we are going to, when we put together the article, we're going to, as well as this, we're going to link all of the, we'll put the phone number, we'll link to the website. We'll put all that information there so that people that are interested in finding out in volunteering. And like I said, you know, the Guardian Angels came at a time that the city was really down and the city rose up. And that's probably a good part of why there was less volunteerism as it related to it, because people didn't feel the need. But I know now when the city's back to a point where, you know, you got to be old enough to be able to have seen it go from down to up. Now it's down again. It'll be back up, but we got to do it together. I agree with you. And community activism. And that's one of the reasons why for me, teaching martial arts, doing things like this is more important than ever, because those young kids need to have the right values, because the world is challenging right now. We need to make sure their minds are strong, more important even than their bodies. So... And I thank you for what you're doing. Let me ask you a question, just out of there's no insights. Will Curtis Sliwa, you think, be the next mayor of the city of New York, or is that?
This is not a hoax. We're actually trying to get it together. I wish you would win, because you know it's funny, because to me, honestly, he's like the number one citizen. He's been fighting for the city for 41 years. And it's been an ongoing battle. And he's for the police department. He's for the police department. He's for the citizens of the city of New York. And I think he's one of, you know, he's the best candidate out there because of his experience. And he's proven. He loves New York.
He is an iconic New Yorker who has been around for a long time, who has always been a visible presence and has always been outsmart. Like him or don't like him, you never not know where you stand with Curtis Sliwa. He is always, he'll let you know straightforward, and we need more of that. So it's an interesting thing. And regardless, I know that he is as energized as ever. I see him out there patrolling, walking with you guys. You're in that same position. You guys aren't executives sitting in an office going, telling everybody else, but you guys are out there on the streets. I saw him out there with the homeless folks. I saw him on the Upper West Side up by the hotel. When things were really bad up there. So it is really a testament to walking the walk, not just talking the talk. And that's probably a testament to his success.
He's led by example.
Yeah.
During all these protests and all, he was injured. He was injured.
Yes.
He was fractured. And instead of going into the store and barricading himself in the store, he was actually out there. And, you know, his jaws, you see what the hammer, his jaws fractured. One of our other members had 48 stitches, broken eye socket, lost his eyesight permanently. So we're out there. You know,
and for those who don't know it, you know, during the height of some of the riots and protests in the highest end areas of New York City, it was the Guardian Angels who were performing barricades to protect people's businesses as well as people's lives in really, really treacherous times and times that are hopefully behind us now, but it was, you guys were very, very visible. And I think that did a lot to make people say to themselves, if these guys are willing to put their safety on the line, then maybe we should volunteer and get more involved in trying to help them. And I think it was really, like I said, you know, walking the walk it says a lot about the character of the organization and your character as well. So I thank you as a New Yorker, someone who's been around here a long, I thank you for what you do. And I thank you for what the entire Guardian Angels, and I look forward, let me know when your community center reopens. I would love to come up and watch and be a guest if you don't mind and observe your martial arts program and your martial arts training. I always like to get out and see, especially young people learning the martial arts is one of the things that keeps me going on a regular basis.
Thank you so much, Mark. God bless, and thank you for your time.
Happy holidays, Mr. Stretch, and be well, and I hope your recovery is full and continues. You look great. You'd never know from looking at you that you were in such a serious accident. And we're rooting for you guys and praying for you, and we'll make sure to post as much information on the Guardian Angels as we can to help spread the word.
Thank you so much, Mark. God bless.
Happy Thank you, holidays. You too. Be well. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
You too, sir.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.